Okay, this is March 25th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. With that said, let me go into before questions and answers and bring up this whole thing. This month we were talking about the trap of mind. I have told you many, many times that the world is convincing. The world convinces you that this is the way it is. And you fall into that and you start to believe that people are awful, the economy is bad, this is going on, that is going on. And it's all the world telling you that. So you fall into that trap and you start to think the way the world is. Now, the other trap that we fall into is the trap that we believe our minds. We believe what our mind is telling us. Your mind has never been your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news. So, but you keep falling for it. And you keep thinking, oh, my mind's telling me the truth this time. Very rarely is your mind ever telling you the truth. There's too many other things going on in there for that to happen. So you have to realize, what? I am not my mind. My mind is mine to use. You have to realize that your mind is a computer. And you have to learn how to use it and how to program it and how to do things with it. So that's what we have to do. The trap that we fall into, and the world will teach you, that God is somewhere else. And God is not somewhere else. God is absolutely present right here and right now in this room, and God is absolutely present in each and every one of us. It can never be anything but that. We all have learned this little saying, always God. And we say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes, I realize, always God, always good. And then you say, but I'm not God, and I'm not good, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm only human, and I'm yada, 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 whatever your mind is telling you. Now you've immediately separated yourself from that. You have to remember, last week I told you, that the problem is that you fail to always remember that God is your source and your supply. See? And the trap is that God is not. The world doesn't think that. The world thinks what? It's your stocks. It's your money in the bank. It's your job. It's this. It's that. They're all outside. They're all appearances. The world is only going to teach appearance. It's only going to teach what's on the outside of life. This teaching is called metaphysics, which means beyond the physical. What we're teaching here is what is seen comes from things that are not seen. You will never see God. You will never see this law of mind. But you have to know that it exists. And you have to realize that that law works for everybody. And yes, sometimes it looks unfair. But it always brings everything into balance. And it always plays itself out exactly according to your thinking. And exactly according to your consciousness. So this class is here to teach you to stretch your consciousness, to see yourself differently, to know that you are one with this thing, God, that you truly are gods in the making or godlings. I am going to pass to Mary Beth this little thing, and you can pass it on. You can observe it and then pass it on to the next person. And I'll keep on talking while we do that. So, the trap that we fall into is separation. And we think that we are not one with this power that we're talking about all the time. We think that we're outside of that power. We may say, oh yes, God created me, but I am not one with God. Well, you have to be. The same way that you know that you are some part of your parents. You have their blood running through you. You have their genes. You have all kinds of characteristics of your parents, these earthly parents. You have to also remember that you have that same inheritance from this thing called God, that a template or a pattern of God is inside of you. And you have to find that template. You have to find that pattern, start believing in it, and it will come to the forefront of your life. The world teaches you that you are only human and you can make mistakes. And this can go on and that can go on. And you use your human qualities as an excuse for getting away with things. Once you realize that your spirit with a body, things change in your life. So the trap is not to believe the world. But what you want to do is start using your own mind and start thinking for yourselves. So any of these, all religion is man-made. I told you that so many times, and it's absolutely true. Some man sat down and thought this up. I told you I grew up a Lutheran. So I studied Lutheranism, which came from a man by the name of Luther. It was his thoughts during the Reformation. And somebody said, oh, well, let's follow his thoughts. And let's not follow the Catholic Church's thoughts. It was just one man's thinking. Science of mind is a compilation of all the truths that run through most of the religions. It was compiled by Ernest Holmes. He did not make this stuff up. He compiled it from other truths. So what we're always trying to do is find the truth in everything. The truth of your being. When I say the truth of your being, what does that mean? The truth of your being is that you are one with God. That you and God are one in the same thing. That's why we can make this statement. All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. Yes. So, it's another wonderful statement is, whatever else God is me. Whatever else God is me. It has to be. The only way that God can come onto this planet is through something. We are the manifestations of God's thought. Now, we are little mini-gods, we are little demigods, we are gods in the making. We have a mind, a creative mind. And the greatest tool we have in that mind or in that toolbox is our imagination. We must start to use our imagination. We must start to see ourselves the way we want to be instead of allowing the world to convince us what we are. You see? So what does each and every one of you want to be? Now, what is the premise that we always start with? We always start with the idea. Several. The idea always is that you're whole, complete, and perfect. Whole, complete, and perfect. You have to know that. You have to know that. You have to know that the gift has already been given. God is not going to give you any more. Stop asking God for more this, more that. You don't need that. God's not going to do it. You're going to do it. God's given you an imagination. God's given you a mind. God's given you life. Now you take those items and you do something with it. You often hear me talk about Raymond Charles Barker. Raymond Charles Barker was a religious science minister in New York. He had a great big church, over 2,000 people. I think attended on Sundays at Alice Tooley Hall in Lincoln Center. He was there for many, many years. Raymond Charles was one of my teachers. He used to say, if you're waiting for your ship to come in, you better be at the harbor and have very strong arms and pull it in yourself. You have to pull yourself in. When I talk about the law of mind, the law of attraction, whatever you want to call it, the law, the mental law in the universe, in the mind of God is this. Nothing for nothing. You must pay in the coin of the realm. You must provide a mental equivalent first before you will get anything. You must be able to see who you are, what you want in consciousness before it will appear in your reality, before it will become a physical or a material thing. It must first be done in your consciousness. Why don't people demonstrate? Because they've never stretched their consciousness enough. You see. Everyone in here, the class title is Abundance and Prosperity Including Money. How many people have $1 million on their desk? How many people can see $1 million on their desk? Do you see it every day? What are you going to do with it? You have to see that. Now, if you can see that, why have you not produced it? Why have you not produced it if you say you can see it and there's such a thing as the law of mind? Because you never gave yourself permission. You never gave yourself permission to receive. Another trap that you fall into, the world tells you it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm telling you that it's very blessed to receive, and you better learn to open yourself to receiving. You think because you can have $1 million and you can see $1 million that it should be yours. But back in your mind, you have a negation telling you what? That you're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It's always going to boil down to those four things. So you work on your consciousness. You never work on anything on the outside of life. You always work on the inside of life, and you change your thinking. You change your consciousness. You start to see yourself as one with this thing called God. You can say you're a child of God. I don't care what you do, but you have to know that this thing is in you and that it can only do for you what it can do through you. And if you do not know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you are never going to manifest. You're not going to manifest $1 million. You may be able to do 10 because you think, 10, I deserve 10. But I don't deserve $1 million because remember when I was a child, I peed in the alley and this happened and that happened. And so I'm just not worthy of that. So, worthy, deserving. Totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So know these things about yourself. So before we open it up to questions and answers, let me just go over this. The gift has already been given. You have to know that. You have to know that you're one with God. And before that, you have to know that there is such a thing called God. You can call it Harry, Henry. I don't care what you call it. This thing called God doesn't care what you call. Herbert, I don't care. But you have to know, oh, there is a power bigger than me. But I am one with that power. I am a mini-me. You see? Be the mini-me. But you have to know that. You have to know that this power is there for you to use. You see, not just a bunch of talk. You can come here every week and, you know, I ramble and ramble and babble and babble. But you have to know, my goodness, there is such a thing. I don't need Dallas. I don't need anything. All I need is my own mind, my own imagination, because I can manufacture and make anything I want because I'm connected with this thing called God. And why can you do that? Because you are the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. Do you get up every morning and remind yourself that you are the beloved? Wake up every morning and say to yourself, I'm the beloved. I can't wait to get started here today and see what's in store for me. And then watch the movements of your mind. What is your mind telling you all day long? Oh, life is horrible. Life is bad, traffic is bad, all bad news, this is horrible, the world's going to hell, and this is going on, and that's going on, there's no money, and da-da-da-da-da. Now, you have all that going on, and you want $1 million to appear. You think $1 million is going to appear in that murky, mucky stuff you've just said in your mind? No. Not going to happen. Give up. Give up. Try this. Instead of asking, instead of wanting, instead of desiring all this stuff, Start stretching your consciousness. Start stretching your belief system. Start believing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that you matter. I never got the idea that I mattered. I was about maybe 35, 38 years old. And a friend of mine, Betty, she's made her transition. She said to me, "Well, Dallas, don't you know that you matter? And yet your opinions matter?" Never, never, never guessed that. Hit me like a lightning bolt. And from then on, I started to see things differently. You have to know that you matter. To yourself and to this thing called God, you are the beloved. Of course you matter. Of course you matter. So now we have, Paula asked about developing spirituality, about doing all this stuff. Just sit and be. Know that I am. I am what? I am the beloved. I am one with God. These are the things that you need. You don't have to read 19,000 more books. You don't have to go to any of these classes. You don't have to do any of this stuff. You come to these classes to hear something new, to hear something different. You come because you should be getting aha experiences, meaning that you made a shift in consciousness, a shift in an idea. It only takes a small little shift to cause all your thinking to change. What is one of the shifts? The one that I see the most with people is when you realize that you're not your parents. You're not your parents. Give that idea up. And you do not have to become your parents. And they may have been wonderful people. They may have been horrible people. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. What makes a difference in your life is what you are thinking about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? Are you thinking, "Oh, well, I was beaten as a child and my mother starved me to death and this happened and that happened"? Then that's what you're going to become. The choice is, forgive those people. Do not take it personally. They would have done that to anybody. And say to yourself, "I am an individualized expression of God. I am a God in the making. And I am choosing the way I wish to run my life. The way I wish to run my life." Trap that we fall into with any type of spirituality or any time we use the word religion. Now, I'm not teaching religion here, people. If you want religion, remember, there's brand name churches all over town. Please go to one of them, and they will really screw you up. Do that. The thing that the world has convinced us is we always need more of something. So you get into metaphysics and you say, "Now I have to study 4 years. Now I have to take this class. I have to take that class. I have to read Troward. I have to read Science of Mind textbook." I've never finished the Science of Mind textbook. Dreadful book. But I believe. And I believe that there's such a thing, such a power, such an intelligence, such a wisdom that permeates this whole universe. And I call that thing God. And I know that it's the only thing, and I am one with that. And I am one with that. And then I go about my business. And I let my life unfold in front of me. Instead of thinking, "Oh, I need this, this, and this." You have to remember that this thing called God is that intelligent. It knows what you need before you ask. It knows what you need before you ask. But you have to bring yourself to that realization. Because why? Your mind says, "Well, I don't want that. I want it my way. I don't want it. What if God gives me something I don't want?" Now, why would God do that? God would never give you something that you don't want. because you're one and the same thing. See? This is how you have to think. This is how you have to stretch your consciousness. But you fall in to race mind or to the collective consciousness. And that's the trap you fall into. One of the master teachers, Jesus, said, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. You cannot be of this world. Meaning, taking on all the things that the world teaches you. And what does the world teach you? The world does not teach you truth. It teaches you facts. What do we know about facts? Facts always change. Truth always remains the same. Truth never changes. What are the things that I tell you a fact is? At the present moment, your bank account may be low. That's a fact. But the truth of the matter is money is always freely circulating in your life and you always have a divine surplus. So you have to look here and think from this point. But you don't. You look at your checkbook and go, ah, my God, I have no money. As soon as you say that, what have you just done? And you did it with emotion. You put it into the law of mind. And as soon as you put it into the law of mind, it's going to chug right along and fall out, no money. If you put the truth in, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus and now I'm using a different emotion, an emotion of excitement, an emotion of enthusiasm. Aha, I put that into the law and it chug. And it comes out, huh? Money. It's the way it's done. Very simple. That's all we're teaching here. The law of mind. Okay? I'm opening it to questions. Otherwise, I keep going. No? Yeah? Questions, anybody?
Remember the last time I was here, and I got on this subject, but I was getting upset about it. I just wanted to ask, not the same question, but...
Thank God.
Okay, well, I just want to kind of get a better feeling about this whole situation. I asked, you know, being attacked as a child, and should this person be punished? And you said that no one is punished. But do people punish themselves? How do you straighten this out? I mean, we're at the police department. There is right and wrong. Do we call 911 someone who's attacking us? I mean...
Right, I'm going to make a great big statement. Stop.
Okay.
We're teaching mind here. We're teaching the law of mind. And nothing is good or bad, but the mind make it so. It's your mind that's doing that. But you're convinced in the world... We're convinced that there are bad people out there, that there are such things called criminals out there. As soon as we get that idea, we say, oh, we've got to stop that. We've got to invent a police department to take care of that. Now we've invented the police to take care of the bad guys, you see. But we manufacture that. We manufacture this whole idea, this whole world. We manufacture doctors, candlestick makers, butchers, bakers, all that. All manufactured in our thinking. We think that is what humans do, and we think that's what our experience here is. Now, you're back to the idea. The past cannot create the future. Well, the whole idea of any religion is forgiveness. The main tenet of any religion, but that goes right out the damn window. No one ever remembers that. So you must always forgive. The only people I know that do that are the Amish people. Remember all the people that got killed and they immediately went and forgave them. And they tore that schoolhouse down. They plowed that ground over and there's corn or something growing in there now. And that is completely gone from their consciousness. They do not hold on to things. We hold on to things. And we say, because the world tells you that you must have justice. And why do we think we must have justice? Because you turn on the television, you can watch Law and Order 24 hours a day. And it's all about punishment. that we have to punish people for everything that they do. Then we get that into our mind and we say, well, if that's true, then God must be punishing. God must be a punisher. God is not a punisher. Now, it's very traumatic to have any child experience of being molested or being mistreated or being abused. That's absolutely. And it is in your mind. You have to straighten that mind out. You have to forgive the perpetrator, and you have to forgive yourself for that. And you make that choice. You see, if you're going to use that the rest of your life as a crutch, it's called woundology. And then you're going to have a wound all the rest of your life that will never heal. It will fester the rest of your life. You have to make that decision. Now, the one thing about woundology is this. You can always tell when somebody's a victim and into woundology. You introduce somebody to somebody and they immediately say, you know, I was molested as a child. Do I need that information? Did I ask you? Did I need that information? How about, you know, I'm in a program. I'm in AA. You know, do I need to know that? Now you're wearing all these things as badges. You're wearing, I'm an alcoholic. I was molested as a child. I used to go to so many seminars in the 70s and everybody there up their hands. What? I was molested as a child. I was molested. I was molested. I started to feel bad for myself. I was never molested. I thought there must be something wrong with me. Why wasn't I molested? Darn it, all these other people are molested and I'm not molested. Now, I'm not making fun of this. I'm saying, look at it. It's always going to be the choice. Why are you ever worried about anybody but yourself? You see, and that's the next trap you fall into. You want to, I want to make sure they get their goods. I want to... Who cares about them? Pardon?
Why can't they take it and chose to change to be better, right? I mean, that's why they're still in that.
Yes. Line. That's the yes. But it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Leave people alone. I don't care who they are. Just learn to love, bless, and release them. Love, bless, and release them. Now, has anyone figured this out? The newcomers, it's a little thing here, if you want to see it. No one figured this out?
Is it some kind? I think it's a seed.
Exactly. That's where it comes from.
It is a seed. It's a zinnia seed. But what I want you to see is how small it is. It's a seed.
It looks like a
zinnia. It's from a zinnia. The point of it is, inside of that little seed, if you can open it if you want, there's nothing in there. And if there is anything in there, it's a little bit of dust. And inside of that seed, when you plant it in the ground, all of a sudden a sprout comes up. And you get a beautiful zinnia and a gorgeous thing. What I am telling you is inside of you is a seed, a God seed. You must let that God seed sprout for you. But first you have to know that God seed is inside of you. But the whole miracle, I think, and the mystifying thing that I love, is that looks like nothing. And it grows into something. A thought. You cannot see. A thought is absolutely nothing. But it grows into something. This is what you have to remember. Did you find anything in there, Jeb?
Just slivers.
Yeah. You would never know that it's going to grow into something. Now, here's the other thing. People do not know if the life is inside the seed or inside the medium called the ground or... Where is that? It has to be something. This wisdom, this intelligence, this thing that we call God does something. And out pops that. The same way with us. You know, and I've told you this before, there is not one person on the face of the earth, not one doctor, not one scientist, who knows why and how, when an embryo is growing inside of a woman, that the heart starts to beat spontaneously with inside of itself. The heart starts to beat spontaneously with inside of itself. I call it the hand of God. Now, when I just do that, we happen to know that God doesn't have hands except these, my hands, and your hands are the hands of God. This thing called God is not anthropomorphic. We think sometimes it is, but it isn't. But these are the things that you have to see in life, the wonderful gift that you have been given. And to know, why did my heart start beating? No one knows why. It just starts at a certain point, and then there it is. Now, I think that's wonderful. Think of that seed as this God inside of you. And let that start to grow. Let that God seed start to grow in you. You see, the whole idea when they say surrender and so forth, it's surrendering your ego to a bigger, better type of life. It's letting go of one life to be able to obtain another life. And that's the idea of getting that bloated nothingness out of the way, so that we can become more and more godly, so that we can learn to think God thoughts after it. That's what it's all about. And when you do that, you start to see life differently, and your life starts to change, and then you're out of the trap of the world. You see? The trap of the world will not let you get out of it. It will tell you that you have a birth certificate and a death certificate, and that's who you are. Bang. That's all it teaches. Doesn't teach anything good. Questions?
We were drilled about that to the good, so we can go to heaven. I don't believe about the heaven stuff. I think maybe we come back to earth. I don't know about reincarnation and all that junk. But they say that when we die, like the size of a walnut comes out of our body, supposedly it can be seen through some energy, and we're released back into
2.4 ounces.
Right, so we're just back in the universe,
yes,
buzzing about, not a human form, not a, we still have a mind,
you have a consciousness.
Will we communicate with our friends, new people, who knows, we don't know because we haven't been there, and nobody seems to relate it back to us from the unknown.
Right. So there, here again, you have to take that stuff on faith, and you have to start thinking that, and you have to use your own imagination. Is there a heaven? Absolutely, but heaven is here and now. Everything is in the now. If you're waiting to go someplace or do something, forget it, because you can't. You can only live in the moment. You can only live in the now. So what does that mean? That means that heaven has to be right here and right now. Everything exists simultaneously in the universe.
Mm-hmm. You see? I had this weird experience, like, years ago, when we were kids, we did Ouija boards, but one of my friends had one, and she died recently, and my daughter and I took the Ouija board and did this and that, and after I did that and asked about her, she was something like a Catholic, totally afraid of purgatory, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of thought, maybe what you think where you're going to go is where your mind stays and it's stuck. It's because you stuck it there. Like, she's now thinks she's in purgatory from what the Ouija board said. That's probably from what I got from her talking. But it was creepy. And she said, because she always said she hated being alive. And she wanted to die. But now that she's gone, she hates being where she is.
What?
And it's probably just our mind.
It is your mind, but there's also such a thing as energy. Everything is energy. So energy can neither be created nor destroyed. I may lose this body, but the energy that I put out and the consciousness that I have will always be with me. There is no beginning. There is no end. It's always eternity. always eternity. Will I come back? If I choose to. It's a choice. Everything in life is a choice. Everything in consciousness is a choice. As for seeing God or seeing Jesus and all that, I don't know. I know perfectly well that that Christians are seeing God. Buddhists are seeing Buddha. Because that's another thing of the conditioning. You have to remember that we're conditioned. So you have to get out of this conditioning. The trap of the world is conditioning also. But once I make my transition, if I can come back, I will bring you the answers to those questions. But in the meantime, no. People years ago, I used to go with people that believed in the reincarnation and all. But you'd walk into a room and there'd be three people that thought they were Cleopatra. You know, now you cannot have that. And I was always amazed. Why isn't anyone a common laborer? You know, what happened to the common laborers? Why is everyone, oh, I was a king, I was a nobleman, I was this, I was that. Ah, you were a slave. Now shut up. I hate John Bradshaw.
It might have been him, or, I've read a lot of weird things like that, but...
Find your inner child and all that was John Bradshaw.
In our blood are all the memories of our past family members, which were all connected.
Yes, but now, stop. Oh, I absolutely think so, but I don't teach that. Now you're coming into the world again. I'm not teaching what's the blood that's going through me. I realize that I'm connected humanly to my mother and father, but I'm not worried about my earthly mother and father. I am worried about what I call my heavenly father. And I have the same qualities as that heavenly father, so I'm never worried about what kind of blood is running through my veins. And my father, if he was an alcoholic, if he was this, if he was that, and that, that has nothing to do with me whatsoever. Oh, but you have that blood, that could come out in you. No, it cannot come out in me. Why? Because I don't want it to. That is a choice that I am making. You have to take responsibility for your life and stop blaming it on your blood, your genes, your parents, or whatever else you're blaming it on. You're causing everything that's coming into your life. You're causing it. And you are where you are at the present moment in your life because of your thinking and because of your consciousness. If you don't like where you are, you have to change your consciousness. You have to change your thinking. They're the only two proven ways to change your life. You can think, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to take a pill, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. It will not change your life. Why do you think so many people who go to those things revert right back? They don't stay with it. It's a choice, people. It's your mind. It is your consciousness. Learn that the gift has already been given. Learn how powerful you are. Stop thinking that you are some weakling of some sort. You are not weak. You are not weak. This body is not weak. You know, people think, oh, we're so fragile. You're not fragile, people. The things that the human body can do, the things that it can go through, the things that it can endure, you are not fragile. You are strong, people. You are strong. Not only physically, not only mentally, but spiritually.
I have a question about you know, deciding, you know, choosing something that you want or that you want to manifest, really whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, you know, you can imagine it, you can feel it, and you can put some emotion to it. And then at the same time, not being attached to the outcome. You know, it's like then, because sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, not getting what you want is actually probably a good idea because maybe you weren't asking for the right things. How do you reconcile between?
Well, that's a trap of the world, and the world loves to do that. And that's that little thing, the same way when I talk about hope. We like to hold out hope, and we say, well, I hope that will happen. Well, hope has no power to it whatsoever, you know. Hope in one hand and spit in the other and see which one fills up faster. Hope has nothing to do with anything. So what we do is we want to manifest something. We want something very badly. Now we detach ourselves from that, and what do we know? That this thing called God can think of something even bigger and greater and give it to us. And as soon as we have the bigger and greater, we completely forget about the thing that we. Regardless of the greatest thing that you can think of, the most magnificent thing you can think of, God can think of something better and greater for you. So I always remember that I'm moving from my good to my greater good. I'm moving from glory to greater glory. And that this thing called God loves me so much, it is going to take me in that direction. It is always moving me forward into something better, into a better life, into a better expression of life. You see, this is what we want to learn to express life. Yes. There's a wonderful life inside of you. There's a wonderful seed inside of you. Let that seed grow so you can express more. You can express more. When we're bored, when we're this, when we're that, why are we? Because we're not expressing something. We're not expressing this life that is inside of us. We're walking around, oh yeah, I'm alive. Mm-hmm, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm alive. You are? Get up. Move. See this. Feel this thing called life. Know this thing called life is all around you. That life is everywhere. This is what it's all about. It's this expression coming through you, this enthusiasm for life. You get up excited every morning. My God, a new day, you see? I love to go to bed because I know in the morning I love to get up because I treat myself to 2 cups of coffee in the morning. I can't wait to get up in the morning. Because those 2 cups of coffee, then I don't do it the rest of the day. You say. Now, I think of other things, too. But I get excited about getting up in the morning. Because then I also read for 2 hours every morning. That's another treat. You see, I do all my treating. I treat all myself. And when I say treat, I give all myself all the pleasures, all the things that I want in the morning. Then all my things are taken care of. Now I can go out and do something. If I get up and start doing this and helping other people and so forth, then I'm going to get pissed off. I didn't take care of myself. Take care of yourself first, and then you can go out and do this stuff. You see? Always, it's about you. Why? Because you're God. You're God. So learn to feel that. Learn to feel the life. We've done techniques in this class before. About feeling energy, about feeling the power, that there's life is all around you, everywhere. Can't you feel it? We've done the hand thing, haven't we? Let's do this. Now, that warmth you're saying is friction. Well, that's true that it is friction, but it's also you're warming something up. You're warming life up itself. Now, let's clap 10 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, now, feel the energy between your hands. Can you not feel it? Feel it pooling, pulsating? Well, now you have to know that that's all around you. And that's coming up through you. And that's the life. And that's God all around you. All this thing that seems like nothing. You see, all this nothingness out there is what you know everyone's now concerned with, you know. We used to think with an atom and so forth, it was the neutrons, it was the nucleus, it was all this and all this stuff running around. They're not so much worried about all the things they can see. They're worried about all the things in between, all the spaces in between. All things are done in the gap. The gap of your thinking. Always, all things seen come from things that are not seen. So you are not interested in the atom. Very nice, lovely little thing. But where did it come from? It came from all the nothingness around it. It came from all the nothingness around it. This is what you want to get your mind thinking. Stretch this consciousness so that you really, instead of somebody just saying, oh, yes, isn't that good? God is love. God is this. God is this. You know, you can get Godded out with that stuff. You have to know it for yourself. You have to know it for yourself. One of the, do this exercise more often. You can stretch this energy like taffy. Clear out. You have to get used to doing it. You have to do it. And it will stretch for you. It will do all kinds of things for you. I told you before that there's an organization, and it's in Northern California, and it's called Heart Math, M-A-T-H. And they do all kinds of scientific studies on spirituality and on energy of the human body. And they have all kinds of instruments that are able to do this. And they have discovered from your heart, you can send that energy out 8 feet in front of you. Now, why is that so fascinating to me? Because you've often heard me say to you, and Andy used to use this, he may have forgotten, send your spirit ahead to make the way clear. You used to do that for your audition. Remember? Your spirit, the 8 feet in front of you, send this out first to make your way clear. Everything will fall in front of it. Use this stuff. We have wonderful things. Use this mind, this imagination. Don't fall for that. Oh, I'm just a poor old weak thing. I can't do anything. Who wants that? I hate people like that.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, I find that when I come here or in my readings and so on, if I learn all this great information and I get the right feeling and I'm creating my future, I write down ideas of what I want to create for myself, start with a thought and make it, it starts in the mind and make it manifest.
Yes.
By feeling that I already have that in my life, and then the universe brings that to me, and it manifests. And so I come up with these practices and so on. You had said in so many different ways about the world tries to stop you, or I feel like my environment of my community or my friends or family, they, no matter what I create for myself, it seems like they're the number one thing that's pulling me back to trying to say, no, no, you're not that. You're who we know you as.
Yes.
Being.
Yes.
And so on. And can you talk a little bit about it's almost like they have their own personal job of pulling.
Yes.
You back.
Right.
And that's the greatest hurdle for me.
Well, yes, and that's but it's not a hurdle. Let's get rid of that hurdle right here and right now. First of all, cut the umbilical cord that you have with your parents or with any of those people. Just cut it. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. People are always going to pull you back. Why? Because if you're able to do something now, they're able to do it, and they're too lazy to do it. So as long as they can keep you from doing it, they say, see, it can't be done. Therefore, it makes them feel better. You can only rise as high in an organization as the organization allows you. If you rise higher than the organization, they will turn on you and get rid of you, and that's what you do with your parents and so forth. You see, parents across the board have cast you in a role, and you must stay in that role. You must play that role out. When you change the role, they don't know who you are, and it scares the bejesus out of them, and that's why they try to pull you back into the group. They're always trying to pull you back into the group. Don't cast yourself into that. Love, bless, and release those people. And when you're trying to make a demonstration, do something, don't tell them. Oh, I'd never tell my family anything. Are you kidding me? No.
It's not just family, but
friends.
I get your point. Right. I find myself cutting off with people that I feel that are not in tune with
right.
trying to improve themselves or whatever.
Right.
And so then I find myself alone.
Yes, well, people say that all the time, and I'm alone a great deal of the time. But when I got into metaphysics, everyone said, oh, you'll lose all your friends. I've not lost any of my friends. Now, I don't go around rubbing your nose in it, you know, well, every once in a while, but very rarely. And a lot of them have come over to my side simply because I set an example. Why do I set an example? Because I don't complain. I don't sit around doing an organ recital all the time. I feel bad here, I feel bad there. This organ isn't working, that organ isn't working, you know. I stay away from all of that. And I can make an absolute statement. I don't have an ache or pain in my body. And I make that statement every day. Why? Because I don't wait till I have an ache or pain and then start to treat. I never wait till I'm down and out before I treat. I treat every day for health, for wealth, for happiness, for prosperity, for loving and caring and sharing relationships. Every day I treat for those things. I don't wait till I don't have something and then start to treat for it. When you're trying to manifest anything and you're in a group that doesn't understand, you see, they can't understand that. You know, if they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, you let them go. I could drag tons of people in here. My brother and sister-in-law, people were here when my brother and sister-in-law came. They're Presbyterian at the present moment, but then they shop. You know, for religions. They're always shopping for a new religion because they can't find one that satisfies them. But would they ever listen to me? Absolutely not. Why? Because I left home when I was 18 and they only know me as that 18-year-old boy. So they think Dallas knows nothing. You see? They will not admit that I went to college. They will not admit that I went to ministerial school. None of that. It completely bypasses them. Because they only cast me up to 18, and that's all they can see. So they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. I still invite them. I still have a good time with them. I never try to change their mind about anything. Do they drive me nuts sometimes? Absolutely. What's the one thing that they bring with them? See, this is a thing that you must remember. They bring with them fear. And that's the trap that the world likes you to fall into, the idea of fear. You see, I don't lock the car, I don't lock the house, I don't believe in theft, I don't do this, I don't do that. When they're there, oh, did you lock the, oh, lock the car, oh, look at this, oh my God, oh! Then, because of their fear, I have to lock things, because their fear will draw it to me. They will draw it to me. Now, they live that way. That's in Pennsylvania. Now, when I go to Pennsylvania, now I have them all in. Everyone in Pennsylvania is in fear that I've ever run into. You know, they're afraid of their own shadow. You see. Now, the other thing is, do they know that they're worthy, deserving, totally level of their matter? No, I'll tell you why. My sister-in-law, she starts out every sentence with something like, "Well, you know, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer." Always put themselves down. They're always putting themselves down. We're not here to put ourselves down. We're here to build ourselves up. We're here to build ourselves up. We're here to see how magnificent we are, how intelligent we are, you see, how spiritual we are. We're not here for all this. Now, I call Pennsylvania the land of Nod, meaning they're all nodded off somewhere. So here we are at the Presbyterian Church, and you have to stand up in the Presbyterian Church, and they give you a program. And on the program, you start with, "I am unworthy." I said to, "I'm not doing that." So I sit down. But that, of course, immediately starts friction with my brother. So anyway, I say to my sister-in-law, "I am not going to stand up and say, I am unworthy in church." She said, "We don't do that." I said, "You most certainly do." She said, "No, we never do that." I said, "It's in the program." She says, "No, it's not." Why? You see with your mind, not your eyes. She doesn't see that. She doesn't see that. So I checked it out with my cousin, who happens to be one of the people that I've influenced. They do all kinds of metaphysical things now. I said to Dennis, isn't that in the program? He said, absolutely, it's in the program. They cannot see that. So you just have to let them alone. It means nothing. I love, bless, and release them. I happen to love the two of them. I call them the Dickersons, but other than that, I love them. You see? But you let that go. So when you're trying to manifest something, don't tell anybody except people of like mind. Because the first thing people will tell you and the first thing that pops into your own mind, when you get an idea, your mind doesn't say, oh, that's great, and here are five reasons why it's going to work. Your mind says, I don't know, here are five reasons why it's not going to work. You don't have the money, you don't have the education, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't, doesn't say, oh, you can do that, you don't need this, this, and this, here's a grin. Yes, that's why you have to stop your mind immediately and say, ha-ha, wait a minute, you have never been my friend. So, does this help you?
Yeah.
So love those people. They're not going to help you, you're not going to get it. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled. And in that book he said, do not look for love where it is unattainable. And that's where we all fall into the trap again. We're always trying to make somebody love us who is never going to love us. Stop doing that to yourself. See, we bring all that on our own self. And we like our parents. I'd love my parents to give me a compliment on my accomplishments. Never. They could never do that. It wasn't in their consciousness to be able to do that. Do I hate them? Absolutely not. Were they a day at the beach? Absolutely not. But I love them and I respect them and I don't have anything really bad to say about them. You know, I got through childhood. So it's a choice in life. So look for love where it's attainable. And look for the people that can help you and not, don't go to somebody that can't help you. I see people doing that all the time. I know somebody now that's teaching a course in money. And the woman went bankrupt. How could you be teaching a course in money? But I bet the room's packed. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to be coddled into saying, oh, it's all right, dearie. That's okay, honey. Here, take a pill. You know? No, take responsibility. It's fun. It's marvelous. Go ahead.
Hi. I never been here before. I don't even know what it's about. I learned the word metaphysical years ago, and I thought it was, I didn't understand, so I really didn't think it was crazy. I just didn't think it was for me. But anyway, I never thought it was my friends for me. And it's very interesting. However, it doesn't make sense to me yet. It doesn't. But I want to ask you two things, okay? I'll make it very quick. One, I know that there are I have an accent that's been here many, many years. And some people lately love to tell me, you've been here so long, how can you still have an accent? These are loving people. And I find it helpful lately. You know, like, shut your mouth. Yes, I have an accent. I never try to get rid of it. It serves me well in my life.
Yes.
You know? That's number one. And number two, you said something about giving and receiving. I never heard it. I love to give. And when I give, I really get pleasure out of giving.
Yes, of course.
When I give, it's a selfish act for me.
Yes.
I enjoy it. But it's like you said, oh, I'm crazy about your ring. I'll take it off and I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Not this one, another one. No, that's who I am. You know, I never thought, I think, well, I have so many rings at home that I'm crazy about. Let's all be happy. And now you say, No, it's like you're giving me permission to keep what I have.
Yes.
You know, I never heard it. It definitely makes sense to me.
Yes. Well, of course it makes sense.
Can you give me a feedback?
Can I give you a feedback? Give me the ring. I have a jeweler. The whole idea in life is to give and to receive. But we've been taught that it's more blessed. My father used that all the time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But the whole idea of the universe, the whole idea of this thing is circulation. You must be able to give and you must be able to receive. And that keeps everything in circulation. If you give and give and give till you have nothing of yourself, now that's the idea of the blind leading the blind. Now you've fallen right into poverty with everybody else, you see? Mm-hmm. So you have to use wisdom with everything. But the idea, and you hit it on the head, it gives you great pleasure to give things. It does. I love to give things. And I love to receive things at the same time. And when you do that, it's a thing. But those people, they can only give. They cannot receive. They cannot receive. Well, then the whole thing dries up. It's just like a river. If you dam up a river, it will get stagnant. It has to have the flow. You have to give and receive, give and receive.
Don't get me wrong, but I don't think
so. Well, I don't have a big ring or I'd give it to you. No, we all like it. Do it. Give and receive. The main thing, I think, that we need to remember is you're here to enjoy life. You're here to enjoy yourself. You're not here to suffer and to worry and to do all this stuff that the world tells you you're supposed to be doing. You see. Learn to love yourself. And you do that by knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you see? And you take care of yourself, you see? You take care of yourself. Then you can take care of somebody else. Then you can take care of somebody else, okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Next. No? No? Not one question? Good.
Okay, so seeing that we've traded for something and we haven't received that yet,
yes.
What's the best frame of mind to stay in regarding that?
That you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That you did your work now. God, it's time for you to do your work. I've done my mental work. I've stretched my consciousness. I've used my imagination. I have done everything possible. Now, I am just going to sit and be, and I'm going to know I am. And let it take care of itself. You can only go so far. And then when you start to push too much, you're never going to get there. This stuff is done with ease. It's done with ease. It's done with elegance. Done with ease and elegance. There's no grunting going on. No, we don't teach that, you know. And that's another one, remember. The sweat of your brow. You have to work, 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 work. Work only produces perspiration. People with great deals of money do not work that hard. Why? It's not in doing. It's in knowing. It's in knowing. So know yourself. Yes, sir.
Well, months ago, you were some of your ideas in a 12-step meeting. You said you didn't really like it. Can you clarify that?
Are they back again? Are they back?
No.
Have I lost another because of my big mouth? Because in the 12-step program, and please do not get me wrong, Alcoholic Anonymous has helped many, many people. I went to 3 meetings. I couldn't stand the people. So I decided I could do it myself. But I have never considered myself, I did then, but I do not now. I do not consider myself an alcoholic. Why? Because I changed my consciousness. I stretched my consciousness. I'm not that person that I was. But if you keep standing up every 2 minutes telling I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, what the hell do you think you're going to become? An alcoholic that doesn't drink, you know, or an overeater who doesn't overeat. Now, if you need those people and you need that help, pardon?
It's debtors.
Debtors. Well, if you need that help, you take that help. But you have to, at the same time, realize that you're not that person any longer. You're not going to do that any longer. You're going to make a better choice for your life. You're going to stretch your consciousness into something else. We never remain the same people. You're not the same person you were when you woke up this morning. But if you go to those things, they're going to constantly tell you that this is who you are and you can never change past that. You're always, that hammer is going to hit you at any moment. You know, a great big sandwich is going to hit you out of the sky, or you're going to get a great big wad of bills hitting you on the head.
A lot of the people here have gotten better and cleaned up their act.
Yes, well, but now they think they can't. See, this teaching teaches you to set yourself free from all things. Where you're not on a tether here, where you can only go so far and then you're yanked back. You see, they're telling you that this is good, that you're this way for the rest of your life.
Right.
And that's not true. But please. Don't, if you have to do it, it's very hard. I cleared a room once because I said I didn't believe in a 12-step program. Oh, my God. You'd think I told them God didn't exist. It works for some people. It did not work for me. And I'm telling you the reasons why it didn't work for me and what I used. I used my consciousness. I stretched my consciousness. I'm no longer in that consciousness that needed to drink. I have alcohol at home. I can be around people that drink. It never phases me. I never even give it a thought. I'm never afraid, you know, that a big bottle of liquor is going to strangle me by the neck and pour itself down my throat. I have no fear. Give up the fear that these things are lurking. You see? Get yourself out of debt and stay out.
They talk about how you have to work hard. When I hear that, it just hurts
well,
me because I don't believe that.
Well, you see, and what did I tell you? You must be an individual and you must learn to think for yourself. And because they all say you must work hard and all, I go to a yoga class and the master, who I adore, she's always saying no gain, no pain. And you see, I don't believe in that. But I don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I figure someday she'll either change or she won't, but it doesn't affect me in the least. When I don't understand anything, I just put it on the shelf. I take the very best from everything, and I wait till my consciousness is ready to accept the rest of it. But in the meantime, what do? I love myself just the way I am. And that's what we all must do. Love yourself. Okay? Love yourself. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.